a 3CR supporter.
And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast. A couple of weeks ago, the Collingwood community gardeners who have had their garden space taken, they've been locked out from it by the Collingwood Community Farm Management Committee, and they've been fighting all the way, tooth and nail, to get their community garden back. And a couple of weeks ago, they presented a petition with many signatures in support of their fight back. So this is a little excerpt from the meeting that was held after that actual petition was given to the management committee, and also a little bit of a breakdown of what's going on at the moment.
So welcome to the petition delivery event for the Collingwood Community Gardens. My name is Giles Filkey and I'm a Yarra resident and community gardener. It is briefly worth mentioning straight away that our campaign has meant that the Farms Committee of Management was held accountable for ensuring the gardens, that they must remain community gardens for those of us living in the city of Yarra, and that we cannot lose this green space. The campaigning by the gardeners has already achieved so much for the Yarra community, despite the continuing lockout by the farm. Initially, the announcement by the farm about the gardens made no mention of the gardens being retained as they are, and today we've received a commitment from the Committee of Management that the gardens will remain in what they've said is quote a community food growing space. So I'd say that they are still hesitating about the community gardens, but we're definitely seeing a real shifting of the position, the initial position of the farm, and the way in which the farm has been communicating the lockdown and the closure of the gardens to us, the gardeners, and to the steering committee representing the gardeners so far. We're still concerned, however, the committee of management of the farm has plans to completely clear the site, which they've made statements about even a few days ago to us in meetings with the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning and the representatives of the Crown Land Office. And there is no clear way forward, however, with one plot renovation in particular that's already been carried out, costing upwards of $25,000. And so that was the cost of one plot to be upgraded. It's now sitting there full of weeds and is yet to be utilised by the social enterprise that it was upgraded for. And so I'd note that at that rate, 70 plots that exist on the garden site would cost the farm upwards of $2 million to completely redevelop. So not only is this simply unnecessary in our opinion, it's an unfathomable cost that the gardeners can't quite understand. So this also disregards the heritage overlay of the site, which the gardeners have rightly pointed out, and a large amount of work has already been done into the significant history of the community gardens, which have been there and have operated continuously since 1979. This is all to say that so far we've forced the Farms Committee of Management to be publicly accountable and made clear that they cannot simply proceed without consultation with the gardeners and with the community. So furthermore, we note it's been nearly 4 months now and there are still no concrete plans forthcoming from the farm concerning a pathway to reopening the gardens. I'd now like to ask the gardeners' representatives from the steering committee of the campaign, Tim Hanfield and Barry Hahn, to go through the recent developments in more detail, to present where we're up to in the campaign and the negotiations with the Committee of Management. So thanks everyone for tuning in. I'd like to now hand over to Tim and Barry for an update.
Thanks, Giles. Tim, do you want to go first? Happy if you want to kick off. I mean, it's a sorry saga, and in some ways, we haven't got a lot of progress to report, but we'll certainly step you all through what we have done and the goodwill and commitment of everyone that's on this call tonight and the wider community that have supported us. But happy if you want to start, Tim.
First, I want to say a huge thanks to everyone that signed the petition, and that without this public campaign, I'm confident that site would be a bare, you know, devastated-looking bomb site, because that was the intention of the committee of management. Despite their recent statements, which have progressively softened it, so our position has remained the same from the beginning. It is that they should talk to the gardeners to work out how to solve the safety issues. We have no rejection of the safety report. We acknowledge there's a report. It needs to be addressed. We came up with a practical solution within a few days with support of Stephen Jolly, offer from the CFMEU. The safety report, in fact, had about seven items that, if you look at them, condensed down to about three, which is just remove the laceration risks, remove the impalement risks, and smooth and widen the paths. That is what the report said needed to be done to make the site safe. Now, almost 4 months later, the farm has failed to do anything on that, but it has used it as an excuse to pursue their own agenda, which is really a fundamental change. And I think what we've got here is a culture clash. It's a clash between bureaucracy and community. So the community gardens represent 42 years of the Yarra's community growing food in an informal, relaxed, happy space. And what's come along is a bureaucracy which wants to impose its vision over that. And to do so, it's necessary to destroy what is there. So that's the fundamental argument here. And it's all masked in lots of words around accessibility and safety and so on. But what they're doing is they're using this, they're proposing a state of perfection in terms of all these bureaucratic rules. And the result is the exclusion of everyone from the use of the site. You know, the standard they're proposing far exceeds the farm itself. If they applied that to the farm would be shut down forever. And so here we are, 4 months later, almost, no time frame offered as to when we would get back in, and they're doubling down on the idea that the only way to let us back in is to completely change the site. Now, they've softened the words. It's now refurbishment. Originally, it was clear the site with heavy machinery. That statement was made. It's a direct quote from Nina Collins, chairperson of the committee, I think she is, or the president of the committee, when they made the announcement of the closure. She said they'd been advised the only way to solve these issues was to clear the site, and it could only be done with heavy machinery. And they keep backtracking on all of these things, and that's because of the public support that we've had, showing the disingenuous nature of their communications. So we met with them within days of this, of the closure. We proposed a joint statement where they would jointly agree that we would address the safety issues immediately, and we would engage in a consultation process with them about the future of the site. So we've never ruled out their vision of the site for the future, but what we've said is you cannot leave it unused for an indefinite period of time, while that vision is carried out. And still in their response to the petition, and I encourage you to read it, it's all very vague. They talk about what they're going to do. It's going to be a community garden at some point. But, you know, right now it's a devastated site of weeds, and it needs to be solved, right? So that's our position. We continue on. It's only through the support from the public community, through the petitioners, through other public support, that we finally managed to get through to Lilia D'Ambrosio's office. She, in turn, delegated resolution of this matter to DELP, Department of Environment, Water, Land, Water and Planning. And we have been in communication with a senior DELP person who is facilitating meetings between us and the Committee of Management. So I've had two meetings so far. It's painfully slow process, and the committee has been absolutely reluctant to make any concessions whatsoever to their position. But we are encouraged by the what appears to be a pretty genuine approach from this senior DELP staff member who's overseeing it. And he has said he is committed to have as many meetings as it takes to solve this matter. But we need to keep the pressure up and we need to keep pushing our case. And ultimately, the committee management needs to be seen for the failure of their administration of this bit of land over a long period of time. I'd just perhaps make one brief comment. You talked about plots being cleared for $25,000. This was mentioned by Nina Collins when she announced the closure. And we've been able to piece together various bits of information. So we don't definitively know what has happened here, but our theory is that this could be the catalyst for this whole miserable exercise. So what happened was Angelo, who'd been one of the original plotters for 40-odd years, went into aged care and gave up his plot. It was a double-sized plot, about 40 square metres. And then the next thing you know, in the farm's last year's annual report, that they had given that plot to two social enterprises, Street and Cultivating Community. Now, if you look them up, you'll find their turnover combined is about $10 million a year, and they receive about $2 million of public funding. Why did they farm need to give two plots, which normally should have been allocated to community members, to these businesses? Well, apparently they needed them to train people. No doubt, we speculate that this would be some sort of publicly funded training program, so there'd be money coming in from that. $24,000 was paid, apparently, to Cultivating Communities to do the work as a contractor. It was also stated in Nina's original closure speech that Cultivating Communities was the contractor that advised them of the need to clear the site. So if you put all these things together, what's happening is this is taking a public asset, a community garden, giving it to commercial enterprises, which involve in tens of thousands of dollars, amounts of money which would have totally resolved all of the safety issues. But apparently these enterprises stated they couldn't use the plots for their training exercise because the surrounds were too dangerous. So we believe this was the catalyst for the original safety report, and everything flows from that. So we have to ask, 40 square metres, the farm is, 16 hectares? Could they not find 40 square metres of garden plot for these partner organisations to do their training program and leave the gardeners to the community? It's just outrageous. On top of that, over the last couple of years, every time a plot has become vacant, instead of allocating the people who have, in good faith, put their names on the waiting list, what do? They've reserved them. They firstly said they'd reserve them for communal plots, but they never found a community to use them. So there's about six plots that are allocated communal have never been used. And at the time of the closure, 20% of the plots were held by the farm, not allocated to the community, and not used. So this is a complete failure of management. And, you know, this contrasts with their statements, which make out to be, you know, extremely serious, responsible managers. Well, it's a nonsense.